Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to tonight's Wednesday version, the Wednesday evening show. I wish you a hearty hello and a hi-yo sofa and a welcome to everyone, one and all, especially those of you watching Crazy Reindeer. What's it called, honey? Reindeer, Greg? What's it called? Reindeer, some reindeer. I saw what you were reading. Mrs. L was watching it last night, and she was very disturbed. That's all I'm going to say. She said, what's the matter? She goes, I'm watching the reindeer. So I said, sounds good. It's not good. In any event, dear friends, let me start off by saying to you always, it is 181 days until the election. 181 days until the election. Just let that sink in, okay? Now, as you know, Many of you wonderful people are, I think, have been with me for a long time. And one thing you will always know that I always tell you the truth. I may not be right. I mean, you know, we can argue that point, but I always tell you the truth. I never lie to you. I never make something up. I never say something just because, oh, I think you're going to want to hear it. Sometimes much to your chagrin. So when I tell you something, it's because I believe it. More importantly, I think it's because I have evidence of it. You okay? Yeah. Poor thing, Mrs. L is. We have a lot of allergies today. It's a very, she's thinking about that reindeer thing, I think. Anyway, it's 84 degrees and it is balmy. Now, things are going so well for this totemic man. I want to tell you the good news. I want to tell you that there is incredible good news, especially juridically. And as I think someone, one of you pointed out, in order for there to be a change, old systems have to collapse. Call, think of it as hormesis or apoptosis or some form of autophagy, where you eat your waste, you lipolysis, you assimilate fat. You basically are destroying the old. Does that sound better? I think it sounds better. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about this great story regarding Fannie. Well, let's hope you're following me on YouTube. Please let me make sure that you are subscribed. Please, 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 I beg, beseech, implore, and import you to remain subscribed, because I'm getting words from people that were being unsubscribed. So that being said, number two, make sure you like the videos and make sure you also subscribe. Hit the little bell so you're notified of live streams and new videos and the like, okay? It's very, 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 very critical. Now, before we begin, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, before I give you the great news, let's talk about some great people and some wonderful news and something which is very, very critical to me. It's a subject matter which I think should be critical to you and your family. It deals with something called food insecurity, which is another way of saying famine, starvation, and the like. And that's why I want you to pay very strict attention to how you can prevent and prepare for your family in the event of God knows what by going to preparewithlionel.com. It's no longer a question of if something catastrophic is coming, it's when. And while you still have control, still have time, what are you going to do about it now to prepare? Your first step is going to my website at preparewithlionel.com. Preparewithlionel.com. Your next step is stocking up on multiple 4-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. And for a limited time, take $50 off a 4-week emergency food supply. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help you prepare. They've helped over 2 million families already. These 4-week kits with Ready Hour Foods provide over 2,000 calories every day, 16 varieties, 25-year shelf life, breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks, drinks, and they're sealed inside 2 31-pound rugged waterproof buckets, and they last up to 25 years in storage. Take advantage right now, my friend, and go to preparewithlionel.com. That's preparewithlionel.com. My friends, as we have been talking today, by the way, it was a day off in the world of the Trump world, because it's Wednesday, and as you know, there is no court on Wednesday. Some people had suggested one of the reasons why Judge Mershon had done this was because he wanted to get as many Orthodox Jews off because they would not be able to appear on Friday for Shabbat services and the like. I don't believe there's anything to that, but it was a very interesting and theoretical idea that was posited for you and yours. So let's think about that. Now, here is the great news. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not one who is, I don't really believe in anything other than the obvious. I'd like to believe that there are good people. I would like to believe that there are good things. I would like to believe, but I kind of sort of don't. But every now and then, something gives me pause. Something says, you know what, maybe the good guys are actually doing well. Maybe president, maybe somebody up there likes him to use that great Rocky Marciano, Paul Newman line. Today, the Georgia Court of Appeals granted and approved of an interlocutory appeal. That's an appeal that is taking place while a case is commenced. Normally, appeals are after the case is over. You appeal a final order. You appeal a judgment, a verdict, a what have you, after the case is over. This case really hasn't even started. I mean, it has. So this is an interlocutory appeal to the Georgia Court of Appeals, the appellate division, to review Judge McAfee's decision to, and this is important, to allow Fannie Willis to stay on the case so long as Loverboy, the garage door Loverboy, and Lothario, Mr. Wade, as long as he removes himself. For reasons, dear friends, I will never understand. For reasons that defy any and all logic. For reasons that confound and confuse like you cannot believe. Ladies and gentlemen, I am telling you that this Jadrool went on ABC and talked about himself separate and distinct from Fannie. Now, did this have anything to do with the decision? I don't know. It couldn't help. This man talked about the case from his point of view. He said, people, office, inter-office romances are a thing, are like apple pie. They happen. It's no big deal. What he did was he basically confirmed that there was a romance. It confirmed, he even called it love. He rekindled, redirected, and awakened new scrutiny and new people saying, wait a minute, maybe this was a lot more serious than we had thought. You know what? Maybe, maybe. And the next thing you know, the appeal goes through. Why this idiot did this, I have no idea. Because he looked at it from the viewpoint of him. I'm the victim. This is Nathan Wade. I don't like the fact that our love affair. I'll bet you anything, Fannie is saying, love, you idiot. What do you mean love? 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 This has nothing to do with love. What are you even talking about? Love? You dig what I'm saying? You dig what I'm saying? So that happened. So what's going to happen is simply this. This is the most important. It's going to go now before the court. They're going to be asking the question whether there was conflict of interest. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to tell you what I think, and then I'm going to tell you I hope I'm wrong. What I believe is that there was not a conflict of interest regarding Fannie Willis. Why do I say that? Because a conflict of interest is when you have a stake in the result. You have a stake in the outcome. It's like having, believe it or not, it's the the requirement of standing. You know that you can't bring a case or a lawsuit or an appeal if you don't have standing. If you were involved in an accident, in a slip and fall at a Costco, and I bring a suit on behalf of you because you're my friend and I love you, and everybody says, excuse me, who are you? Yes, I'm claiming you don't have standing. You have no stake in the case. You have no connection with this claim. Well, it's kind of like that. Does she have a stake in the claim? No. If, let's say, she was prosecuting Mr. Wade, that would have been a conflict of interest. If she was having an affair with one of the witnesses, that might be a conflict of interest. Something where the case itself is affected by a relationship. She could have gone, as I've told you repeatedly, she could have gone before the entire world and said, I just want you to know something. This is my boy toy. We're lovers. We're in love. We may even get married. I don't know. And I appointed him. Now this would be politically disadvantageous, but there's something illegal. I'm going to appoint him my chief prosecutor because we work together. He happens to be a damn good lawyer, which is probably wrong, but I can do it. There's nothing wrong with it. That still doesn't have it or create the perception or the reality that she has some kind of stake in the claim, that there's nothing. But that's not what happened. Now, there's two things that they bring up. One is a motion to disqualify for conflict of interest. And the other one is forensic malfeasance, forensic impropriety, forensic corruption, forensic fraud. They're actually going for that one, too, where she actually is doing something to throw the case, tamper, kind of like Jack Smith. So I don't know where that's coming from. But hey, look, if it works, it works. Here's the issue that I think is even more interesting and why it's more problematic. Number one, the prosecutor in this case, let's see, 75. Okay. The first thing is, just a second. Okay. Number one, she appeared before the court and lied. She lied repeatedly. She lied when they had the affair. She lied when they were having the affair, when they were romantically involved, when they were staying together, when they were involved in a romantic tryst. Over and over and over and repeatedly, she lied. Yes, forensic malflatulence. Thank you so much, Mr. She lied repeatedly. Lied to the judge. Lied to lied. That is it. She lied before this court. She lied. The court could say, I believe in this particular case, you have not only lied to us, but you have lied to everybody. You have created, by virtue of your mendacity and your perjury, something that is now inextricably and permanently entwined in this. That's number one. Number two, Mr. Wade, he's already gone, but you may have aided and abetted his perjury. This man was in the middle of a divorce with Joycelyn Wade. And at one particular point during the interrogatories, the pleadings in his divorce, which could very well still may be pending. I mean, the actual final, final order, final decree. But in any event, they ask him, how much did you make? Where's your money? And he could have lied. That's number one. Number two, when they ask, were you having any kind of extramarital affairs? He either lied or went back and changed it. That affects things when you are an adulterer. In some particular cases, some jurisdictions, you waive certain support, or you wait. It's just, you don't want to go into a court being an adulterer. Okay? That's oftentimes what brings people to court in the first place. You see, people have this idea. Let me remind you of something. People have this crazy idea. They say, well, you know, we're separated. You're separated? Yeah, we're separated. Well, what does that mean, separated? Now, sometimes there is an actual legal separation, which is used in false states showing abandonment. Sometimes there's a case where in a fault state versus no fault, most states are no fault for divorce. You go in, you say, is the marriage irretrievably broken? Are there irreconcilable differences? Yes. Have you been a resident of the state for 6 months? Good. Boom, boom, boom. You're out. You're done. You're finished. You're through. See ya. See ya. You're done. You are finished. You are through. You got it? Good. That's exactly the way it works. It's exactly the way it works. Very, very simple. However, in a fault state, you have to prove your case. You actually sue the other party. One person will normally sue. And it can be pain and suffering. It can be physical, you know, abuse, abandonment, where there hasn't been intimacy, or they haven't lived together, or they've been separated, or whatever it is. Basically, kind of an abandonment. And many times, what they'll do is they will use that one because that's the most palatable. And the husband will, they'll either stipulate to it or he'll move or whatever. But legal separation and things like this, in many occasions in the States, they will say things like, you just can't say I'm separated. Excuse me. It's like being separated as a parent. This is a legal relationship. This is a legal status. You just can't walk away from. You can't say, well, by the way, I'm, you know, okay, fine. So she may have aided and abetted in some respects and been almost an accomplice to a number of lies and perjuries on his part. So that's a very serious thing, okay? Very, very serious. Next, Terrence Bradley. Do you remember Terrence Bradley was the divorce lawyer? This was this confused man who sat and pained and he thought about each question. He ruminated and thought about each question. He thought, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? There was a woman who was the chief. What is it? Lisa Ray? Lisa. I'll get it. Doesn't really matter. She is the chief or one of the co-chief deputies in, I think, Cobb County in the DA's office. She's there and she hears Bradley on the phone somehow with Fannie Willis, and she's saying to him something like, you know, they're trying to ruin us. You know, you don't have to say anything. This is the district attorney, a vindictive, vexatious, absolutely arrogant, entitled, dear God. Now, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know. He seriously does not know what to do. He is now. Why is this important? What's important is, in my particular world, this sounds like something very famous. This looks like, or sounds like, a word that is how do we say this? It sounds as though it's obstruction of justice. It sounds like it's witness tampering. It sounds like you're intimidating this guy. So that's another case. So we have perjury, aiding and abetting perjury in the case of Wade, obstruction of justice, forensic malfeasance, forensic, you know, corruption and that sort of thing, which I don't know how they're going to do that one. Plus, the court has lost any and all faith in the veracity of this woman. Remember her story. Well, did you pay him back? Oh, yeah, I paid him back. Yeah, you know, I paid. It's a black thing. I paid him back cash. It's the most stupid thing anybody's ever said. He lied before the court. No, we haven't been there. They have this wolf trap or whatever, this cell track or track system, where they show him going over there. Anyway, make a long story short, she is so tainted, so disgustingly pocked, and contaminated forever. Nobody could ever in their right mind believe that what she's saying is even remotely true. So forget conflict of interest. She also has to go and ask, perhaps, if there's a, I hope somebody has filed bar complaints because she's lying. So here's the beautiful part. She's done. She's through. The fact that the court wants to hear this means they're inclined to grant it. Appellate courts don't hear cases they're not interested in. Supreme Court doesn't, they don't grant cert for half of the stuff. They're not interested in this stuff. When the Supreme Court grants certiorari, grants review, that means they want to do something. This intrigues us. We think we should take a look at this. Wouldn't that be beautiful if all of a sudden Fanny just goes by the wayside? Just see you later, Fanny. Have a nice day. This was her ticket. Because remember, unwritten rule, whoever gets Trump first, whoever gets the scalp, whoever is responsible first, whoever does this, you can say federal judgeship, maybe governor, who knows? You can write your ticket. And here is this woman. Can you see it now? This brave, bold, sassy African-American woman going up against the Trump machine. Oh, dear God, can't you see it? I can see it. Can't you see it? Can't you see how this thing is done? Can't you see how all of a sudden this storyline, this intrepid woman took on the machine, did it where nobody else could do it. She also had, by the way, one of the most serious cases around. I mean, racketeering? Dear God. Dear God. I don't even know how to tell you this. This is huge. Now, Trump must be thinking to himself, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Something is breaking my way. So let's go through and review what's going on here. Number one, let's talk about the Washington case, the January 6th case. Remember this one? January 6th, Supreme Court said, we want to address the issue of the president's immunity from prosecution. We probably will never get to that. That case is permanently on hold. That will be heard. That will be done after the election. Okay? So forget about that one. And after the election, who gives a shit? Nobody cares. Do you hear what I'm saying? After the election, nobody cares. Let me say this again for you. You ready for this? Let me say this again. After the election, nobody cares. Nobody. So that one's done. Number two, Jack Smith, the documents case, Mar-a-Lago, a piece of shite. That judge said, you could forget, we're going to definitely put this one on hold because you have done, he has screwed, they have mislabeled, misrepresented. Oh, it is a cluster like you cannot believe. So number two, case number two, on indefinite hold. Case number three, Fannie Willis. That's looking real bad. Looking real bad, okay? Remember, it's Republican governor, and I think they would love to clip her wings. And finally, we have Stormy Daniels back in court tomorrow. How do you think that's going, friends? How do you think that's going? First and foremost, I'm telling you right now, as I've told you from the beginning, that I cannot tell you what a jury is going to think about something. And the reason why I tell you this is because I tell you the truth. These folks go on CNN and they say, listen, I'm going to say whatever you want so that you'll hire me as some kind of a paid contributor. But I'm not going to give you the truth because the truth is kind of boring and the truth is kind of over. I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. I'm going to tell you what I think you want to hear. Okay? That's what I think. I'm going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm looking at this as a doctor. I'm telling you, I'm reading the results. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, my dear friends, members of the conspiratorium, I don't know what the jury's going to think about this, but the bottom line is simply this. Let's say that if they said the following, we hate Stormy Daniels, we hate Alvin Bragg, we hate, but this has nothing to do with the documents case, which we think they proved. So there you go. Let me say that again so you understand. They could very well say, doesn't matter. It's an awful case. We hate her. Or they could say, we hate her. We hate what they're doing to him. And we didn't come in here even liking Trump. But this is an abomination. So you know what we say? Screw it. This is called jury nullification. What is that? That's when the jury says, I don't care. Or one juror says, I'm finding him not guilty. Yeah, but excuse me. I'm telling you right now, I'm finding him not guilty. I have reasonable doubt. But you haven't heard anything. I don't have to hear anything. I'm telling you right now, I'm finding him reasonable doubt. And that's the end of it. That is the end of it. Shut up. That's exactly how that works. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, these other folks, they're talking about all this stuff about I think Trump is doing terrific. I think, though, especially mothers, fathers, parents, especially if you have a young man, I want you to say, this is what happens when people lose their minds and they don't understand. Stormy Daniels is, if she were in any other circumstances, a serial killer, a gangster, a whatever you want to call it. She is out for one thing and one thing only, money, herself. Stormy Daniels is a skank, soulless, dissolute, reckless. She will sell you. There isn't an ounce of honor in this woman's body. Nothing. And let me also tell you something. A lot of people don't realize this, but they look at this and, you know, you can go back. Some of them may go back and they may say, let's see her IMDb. Let's see what these are. By the way, there are some of the funniest porn title puns that are out there. And I'm not going to sully the dignity of this assemblage by going through them, but they're very, very funny. So she's right in there talking about this stuff, and she looks like just awful, just horrible. Now, tomorrow, we get back to the case. We get with Necklace, Susan Necklace. Susan Necklace is this wonderful, she's the defense lawyer. She's the defense lawyer for President Trump, and she's got a real... real serious, serious take. She really, really, she's good. I like it. I like her. Susan Necklace. She reminds me of, you ready for this? You're gonna say this. I know you're, if you know who I'm talking about now, she's very, very good. She is a dead ringer for Bob Welch. Remember Sentimental Lady, the original Fleetwood Mac, Bob Welch? Just when you got a chance, I swear to you, it's uncanny. That being said, she is now going to go and she's going to rip this woman to shreds because they want to see it. This is a time when the jury says, go ahead and do it. We want you to see, hurt her, bring every horrible thing that she's doing, bring it to the fore and let her have it because they hate her. She is just, why is she there? She serves no purpose. Today I was on a show The Natalie Morris on a wonderful YouTube channel called Redacted. And we talked about this. And it was very, very good. And I said, I don't understand under what theory is she even taking the stand for anything. Under what theory, what possibly could be the reason why she's even testifying? And what do these particular things, these events that she did, how do they in any way have anything to do with anything? Seriously, this is a documents case. This is a business fraud case regarding an NDA, not hush money, nothing illegal. And we've stipulated to the whole thing. Whether they had sex or not, it doesn't matter. The underlying reason for the NDA doesn't matter. The issue is you are going to keep your mouth shut regarding a situation, as long as it's not obstruction of justice where I pay you money to not talk to the police or, you know, interfere with an ongoing criminal investigation. You know, that's, of course, not prohibited. But there's nothing to it. And it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. It doesn't matter. Except this case with a judge who pretends to scold the prosecutors after he lets it in. Remember, you can't unring the bell. Let's take a second, dear friends, just a second, as we think about our dear friend, the great Mike Lindell from that great company, MyPillow.com. God almighty. And they've got specials for you if you go to MyPillow.com, but you have to use promo code Lionel. No other promo code. If you hear any other show, any other radio show, forget that promo code. You use mine. And you get a free gift. It's time yet again, my friends, to hail and salute our great friends at MyPillow.com. And if you use promo code Lionel, you'll get a free gift. No purchase necessary. And yes, I know a free gift. It's a tautology. So sue me. But first, listen carefully. Check out their $25 extravaganzas. Premium My Pillows, Queen and King, My Pillow 2.0, My Pillow bed sheets, the lowest price ever. Sandals, slides, slippers, 6-piece towel sets, 4-pack dish towel sets. Simply and absolutely unbelievable. So go to MyPillow.com/Lionel. MyPillow.com promo code Lionel or call 800-645-4965 and watch how fast Mike Lindell answers the phone. MyPillow.com, simply and absolutely the best. As I told you initially, this is great news. The president should be absolutely and it is so wonderful and so beautiful and so great to see everything that they're doing just falling apart. And I'm telling you, once they call it off, once they say, you know what, we've been through this before. It's not so much that he's bulletproof. It's not so much that they want to be fair. It's the fact that they've already been through this. They've been through this. And people are just, they have metal fatigue. And fatigue is like, enough. I also want to talk to you about, dear friends, what is happening right now in the other world. We talk about this. By the way, today is Victory Day in Russia. They're celebrating, or actually, yeah, I think it'd be now they're doing it. And I was watching today the various, again, there's two things. There's the American side, and then there's the rest of the world. And I truly cannot believe what I'm seeing and what I've witnessed regarding what's happening in the Middle East, in Israel. And I saw something today which was so fascinating. And I realized this is beyond the ken, beyond the pay grade. This is beyond the... this is beyond the level of understanding that the Americans have. This is simply put, beyond their conception. You cannot possibly explain to them the history of what is going on today in the Middle East, in Israel, and you can't. And if you try to use words like terrorist, evil, you can't do this. You can't. There was a wonderful explanation a while back. Breaking Points, I think, is just terrific. And Sagar and Jetty or any Sagar and Crystal, he gave one of the best stories, one of the best histories of Israel from 1948, 1949, all the way through today. 67, Intifada, Lebanon, to see colors and to see 67 and the Sinai. I mean, we're not used to this. We're not used to this. We are not used to this. We are looking at this thing. And Americans say, who's the bad guy? Hamas is the bad guy. Hamas is simply the bad guy. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe Hamas is the bad guy? And do you believe they think of themselves as being the bad guy? Yes or no? Do you, honest to God, believe? Do you see them? Do you honestly believe that they're just bad? They're bad people, and they were put on the planet, and they have no claim to anything. They're just terrorists, and they're there just to mess with Israel. They want to destroy Israel. They hate Israel. It's in their charter. And they are put on this planet to get Israel. And all of the people in Gaza, all of the men and women and children and old people and young, are merely rubes and agents and confederates of Hamas. There is nothing. They have no position. The Palestinians have absolutely no say whatsoever. This has been decided. That's it. They have not suffered. They have not been killed. This is not an open air concentration camp. It's nonsense. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Does anybody really see things that clearly Manichaean, that black and white? Do you understand? Do you see this? I watch everything I can get my hands on. And what you see on the internet, as it were, is so incredible. And you might have a situation that is inextricably futile to think you're ever going to get anything done. It has hit a tipping point. And they are not going to decide anything anymore. There almost is, I don't know if this is true, there almost is no Gaza. We don't hear actual, you're not going to hear anything from Fox News. But what do you think these people are going to do? They're going to say, okay, I'm telling you, I can understand a lot of things. And I'm very good at seeing both sides. I swear to you. And I understand that life is filled with obfuscation. There are very, very few things where certain things do not have a different side. For example, child abuse, child trafficking, human trafficking. There really is no, well, let's see it from their point of view. Very, very. In law, we have two types of offenses. Malum, M-A-L-U-M, prohibitum, and malum in se. Malum prohibitum is a law that is wrong because we say it's wrong. Red lights and whatever it is. Okay, fine. The other issue of this is malum in se, wrong in and of itself. Rape, murder, mayhem, robbery. It's wrong because it's wrong. And that's kind of the stuff that a lot of people see. And what I'm seeing here is people, Americans, not even understanding, not even hearing, not even wanting to hear the point of view of the history of the area, what Palestinians have been saying. They have no interest. They're made out to be these crazed, radicalized kafia Karens who are screaming and yelling, and they conflate some guy spray painting a World War I monument with the entire cause. Sparky says Hamas was on the payroll of Israel and the U.S. Are they a Frankenstein monster run amok? You know, it's very funny you say that, Sparky. Today, there was a very interesting, I saw this. It was, do you ever watch First Post? It was Weon, Palki Sharma. Palki Sharma, First Post, First. And she has a very, it's a wonderful thing about the history of Hamas. And she uses the word Frankenstein's monster. The Americans always say Frankenstein, but it's Frankenstein's monster. To condemn Hamas is to condemn the U.S. and Israel. Well, put it this way. At the time, Sparky, as you well know, when you find that Hamas, which of course is an acronym for Islamic something, I don't know. But as you know, Sparky, I'm not telling you anything new. They thought, let's put our money and our support, because Hamas hates Arafat, hates Fatah, hates them. Fatah is kind of a secular, you know, corrupt. And these guys were hardcore. They were Islamists. They said, what could go wrong? Go ahead. We'll help them. This is terrific. We'll have this internecine war. And we can also say, as you know, Sparky, there can never be a two-state solution as long as these guys are fighting, right? That's what they thought. They're not fighting. They're not fighting each other. They're like this. It blew up. Do you remember when the Zbigniew Brzezinski, he had, pardon my French, a hard-on for Russia. That was it. He was the Polish prince, and he hated Russia. He said, I'm going to give them their Vietnam. Afghanistan is going to be, I'm going to get them. And they said, well, what about, he goes, I don't care. And they said, Zbig, you can't fund and support these crazy people. These are crazy people. People like Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda's our term, by the way. These are Islamists and Taliban and Northern Alliance. You don't know who these people are. You're giving them money and weapons and just to get Russia. He didn't care. They said, well, they're going to turn around and you're going to, how did he say this? They're going to use this firepower against Israel or something along those lines. And they said, that's like a mosquito bite or a pinprick or something. He gave some form of dismissive, who cares? And look what happened with that. Now, I don't know whether you believe, I personally do not believe anything. I do not believe anything. I do not believe in good guys and bad guys. I know. As Mearsheimer says in realism, it's all about power. There is no hierarchy. This is anarchy. Every country knows that when it's in trouble, it cannot call 911. It has nobody but itself. And every country wants to maintain its own power. There are no such thing as good guys and bad guys. None. Sorry. And when people have said terrible things about Israel, Israel has said terrible things about them. We have said terrible things about this one. This one says terrible things about this one. I mean, you know, we, and you must demonize people. The complexity of this. Ilan Pappe, the Israeli intellectual and certainly anti-Zionist, talks about de-Zionization. Can you understand this? This is what's being discussed. And Israel is saying, what? The design, an undoing, a reversal, an abrogation, a rolling back of 1949 and 242 or whatever. This is what they're talking about. This is an inextricably complicated situation. Now, in the meantime, what are you supposed to think about people who protest? What they are doing is the mainstream media are saying, you see that snotty kid there? That's Hamas. Hamas is not to be taken seriously. Hamas is evil. These people are full of shit. They don't know what they're talking about. They're spoiled. Victor Davis Hanson, I could not believe what I heard. My God, did they buy this man's soul? I couldn't believe what I was saying. Sparky says, good point. I was thinking Frankenstein monster is analogous to Frankenstein's monster, so is more general than the exact monster or situation, which is true. And the idea being, when you create something, but to be fair, Frankenstein was really the monster was really a good guy. There was no problem. Remember the little kid, and he wanted to show him the flower, and so now. It was about us. We were the monster, not the monster. The world is a balance of inextricably incomprehensibly complicated interconnections. You've got to balance that. You've got, imagine, good bacteria, bad bacteria, gut bacteria, E. coli, lactobacillus, monilia, candidiasis, yeast infections, balance. It's like, holy God, one imbalance. Everybody's got to coexist. Pray to God things work fine. Pray to God you don't have an autoimmune system problem. Pray to God that you have enough of that mucosal lining in your stomach so that your gastric juices, the hydrochloric acid, don't eat your stomach. Thank God. There's balances. Thank God that cellular division stops. Because if it doesn't, that's called cancer. That's called a neoplasm. There's a balance here. That's the world. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Maz says, talk radio is finished. One radio station in New York is constantly talking about August Nazis and anti-Semitic. All stations are unlistenable. You are the only one with sanity. I thank you. Johnny, thank you as well. There's no... I've got to explain something to you. If you use the word Nazi in the course of any of your thing, you better really know what you're talking about. You better really, really know what you're talking about. That's all. Because if you use it, and if you use that particular period of history as your explanation for everything, you are going to bring about more problems than you could ever imagine. Same thing with words like, or ideas like slavery. Hang on a minute. The only true Frankenstein's monster is Peter Boyle. Well, I'm sorry. He was very good, of course, young Frankenstein, but I loved Boris Karloff was it. Wasn't that scary when you were a kid? Remember that Frankenstein's monster? Remember in young Frankenstein, it was Gene Hackman who played the blind, he said, I want to be in this movie. And he said, I don't care if you use my name. I don't care if anybody knows who I am. I don't think people knew it was Gene Hackman. But the very first thing is you've got to understand something. You got to ask, is there anybody else? Is there anybody out there who is truly evil, who thinks they're evil, who are despotic? Was Mao evil? Was Stalin evil? And when you say though I hate the word evil because you're creating something around it, which I find to be you're romanticizing what is happening. You're treating it differently. It's a very simple thing. It's a very simple thing. There are people who do an occasional bad thing, but they're not. They've got families, and they're not. They don't get up in the morning and say, "I'm evil." They don't get up and slap their kid and kick their dog and set things on fire because they're evil. They are sadists. And then there are people who get involved in the notion of who run countries. Remember one time they asked Stalin about the Pope, about how powerful the Pope was. And Stalin says, how many divisions does he have? Do you think John, let me just explain something to you. Sparky, you would know this. How many folks remember the Vietnam? Do you know that there were people in Vietnam who said, what are we doing? Sparky says, of course, he says, kidding, of course, I agree with you, Boris Karloff. You know, because of this simplicity. I'll give you an example of sometimes. Look at Cape Fear and watch the original Cape Fear with Robert Mitchum. Scares the hell out of you. With Gregory Peck, and it was no cursing or whatever. Look at Sexy Beast with Ben Kingsley. One of the most frightening people. But let me go back to something, which is very, very interesting. This notion of how people work and evil and all this other kind of jazz. During the Vietnam War, there were people in Vietnam, innocent people, who were out in their fields. They were the most resilient people for thousands of years. Historically, they were taken over. They're kind of like the Sicilians. By the Chinese, the French, horrible. And yet they fought back and they wanted independence. Ho Chi Minh comes along and he says, please. He wanted to base their constitution on ours. Remember, he was a dishwasher somewhere in the Bronx. And he had no. And if we left him alone, he wouldn't bother us. And the question is, you can't say this, but if I could create a parallel universe in Israel and say, in this Israel, I have this country where they don't do anything to the Gazans, the Palestinians, where they're left alone. And if there's a problem, they'll deal with it. But there is no, you know, encirclement, there's no containment, there's no nothing. There's no battles, there's no, we don't fight, we don't shoot, there's no deprivation, there's no nothing. We always are worried about stuff. But what would that look like? What if we said, you know what, we're going to just stop this. We're going to let these people, or Gaza, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. Period. We're not going to keep you locked in air and sea and the whole bit. What would happen? What if somebody said, we're really going to try our best to actually get along and we're going to stop using it. We're really going to do it. Is it even possible? Of course it's possible. Of course it is. LJ Jackson says, nobody freaked me out more than Vincent Price. You know what's interesting about that, LJ? And I thank you for that, for your kindness. Christopher Lee, remember the other, was it Cushing? Peter was his name. The people that always scared me in movies, and I say this now, and I'm not, and you think I'm kidding, are people who are normal, who seem normal, who are able to do things that, when BTK and Green River Killer and other people did some pretty nasty stuff. They blended in perfectly. Albert Fish. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Albert Fish. And the thing that got me the most, the one I'll never forget, because I've seen this before, And I've seen this professionally, and I've seen somebody. Who was it? What's that thing called? Reindeer? It's about the stalker. Baby reindeer. When Glenn Close switches and says, I will not be ignored. I swear to God, that was as a, oh boy, are you in for it now? Johnny Mass says, Colin Powell, shit can the Mille massacre. Yeah, well, I kind of understand why. Remember, Johnny, during that particular period of time, going back to Vietnam, we were saying, yay, go, baby, go. Here's Bob Hope, and he's supporting the troops. And the next day, they're going to go out in the troops, and they're going to go out, and they're going to kill people, and they're going to go into villages and set hooches on fire, and they're going to, they raped women and did terrible things. Not all of them, certainly not all, but a lot of them did. Because that's war. That's what happens during war. That's this terrible thing. And we sat back and we said, yay! We didn't want to know this. And what did we say? Well, if it happens, it happens. Hey, look, we're doing a good job. We didn't know the first thing about it. We got to support our troops. What are they doing? Oh, who cares what the hell they're doing? We got to support our troops. I never forgot that. Never forgot that. And by the way, going back to the scary thing again. One of the things which people have to understand is what makes something scary. And it's the monster. And the monster is when it's the first thing kids have to understand when you say, what is the monster? Can't see it. You're not really sure what it wants. It's just, you know, it's chimeric, so to speak. It's this frightening thing. It's been a part of humankind since the beginning. And the scariest monster there is the one that works, that lives within you. It's the one who's, you're wondering, there's a killer on the loose. You know, when they're looking for the Boston, you know, strangler, you know, where is he? What does he look like? He could be anybody. He could secrete. It's fascinating. What was also scary about that was it looked like us. That's the thing. You see, to me, Vincent Price was, you know, that kind of creepy with the voice and all that. Well, he's basically announcing to everybody, hey, I'm a creepy guy, just like Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter was the worst. I mean, depiction of it, if you think about it. Hang on a minute. There we go. Wait a minute. Hang on. There we go. Sparky says Ho Chi Minh wasn't taken seriously, maybe even disrespected at Versailles at the end of World War I, perhaps a factor in the Vietnam War. Oh, absolutely. But it was also this arrogance. Truman, the French, Chinese. You've got to leave people alone. We were the aggressors. We did everything that they say, everything that they say the Israel's doing to Palestinians, we did it to Vietnam. We wanted to destroy them, to liquidate them for reasons we couldn't figure out because they were supposedly a part of this world where if we could stop them, we could put a cork in this bottle called communism, and we could stop this. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. And Ho Chi Minh said, I'm a nationalist. This is a civil war. Anybody who will help me. We want independence. And now they're our best friends. Now it's their. Everybody that told me, everybody ever talked to from Vietnam, they all said one of two things. So whenever they landed, wherever the hell it was, the first thing was the stifling heat. Another friend of mine said the smell was absolutely horrid. The perfume river and others. It's a very, very, very fascinating issue. Oh, by the way, one of the things which is important to recognize is the idea that in order to do all this stuff that we're doing, you've got to be able to pull yourself out of the equation and look at it, look down on it, as though you're from another planet, looking at different signs, and ask yourself, what are they doing?
What are they accomplishing? What's theoretically the beef? The worst aspect of everything right now is the contamination level that occurs by virtue of the mainstream media that do nothing at all but make matters worse by the lying, by the mendacity, and also by their inability to understand the complexity of what's going on. You've got mainstream media and you've got talk radios who are so afraid of pissing off, saying the wrong thing about Israel or Palestine, that they just repeat the. I'm telling you, watch the interview with Victor Davis Hanson and Mark Levin, and you'll scream. You'll say, I can't believe what I'm seeing. I thought this was possible, but I never knew how horrible it was. Now, my friends, dear, wonderful, great, and glorious, and beauteous friends, I ask you to do a couple of things here, which are so critical. First and foremost, Mrs. L has one of the absolute best websites. And website too, lynnswarriors.org. And by the way, you may donate and support in so many ways, which we appreciate, of course, immensely. But as we speak, she is able to talk about issues that other people are missing completely. And she's got a brand new one coming out regarding Andrew Tate. And this is another example, my friends. Huh? Oh, I'm telling you. Okay, it's up there right now. I want you to watch this. I want you to see what this is about. It's at Lynn's Warriors. Lynn's Warriors. This is the name of it. Lynn's Warriors, okay? This is the Lynn's Warriors. And I want you to follow this and to hear and read and listen to what she says, because nobody is even talking to you about this. Here is her link at Lynn's Warriors. Go to it. You will get an earful and a soulful, as it were. Sparky said, my uncle was stationed north of Da Nang, South Vietnam, in 1969. He asked me a couple of years ago why we, the U.S., were even there. He's asking you. Those are the hardest questions in the world. The hardest questions. What's the beef? Explain it. Now, by the way, my friends, one more time. This is it. Mrs. Ells, go to that link right there. Click it. And you can sign up right away. Sparky, dear friends, Marissa, Hillbilly, what was World War II about? What was it really about? Let me ask you a question. What did Japan really want? What did Japan want? Japan knew that we would kick the living crap out of them. They knew. They didn't know about the bomb, but they knew there's no way they could have won. They knew this. What were they after? What was it about? What was it about? Why do we have these wars? What was Iraq about? Nobody asks. What was Afghanistan about? What? Now, there's this answer I can give you, the textbook answer. Well, the reason is because there was different expansions. What was Hitler about? Versailles, the humiliation. Liebesraum, you know, and the Gleiwitz move. Was he crazy? Do you think he was crazy? I don't. Not for a moment. Evil? Look. Anybody who can sit around and say, I want to liquidate. Liquidate. People, not in war, but in an industrial means of evaporation. And all of these folks get together and they meet and say, well, I'll use my genius. And it's the most incredible thing. A friend of mine showed me either arrest documents from his parents from the Germans, the Nazi. And you could see the absolute precision, the typing and the forms and they didn't think they were evil. There were people who said, you want to do what? You want to do what? You want an incident? No. No, they said, okay. Are they evil? Or is evil something that is like this bad gut bacteria that if you don't watch it, it rises? Do we all have that in us? I think you are the most susceptible to doing some of the most horrible stuff anybody's ever done. If put in the right situation, the savagery that you can exhibit, let me put it to you this way. What about if somebody hurt your kid? Let's start with that one. It's not even funny. There is a thing in you that's atavistic. There is a part of you that if it ever comes out, you'll shock yourself with how you behave. Sparky says, Lady Bird's relatives own Brown and Root. Oh, yeah, construction company. Later part of Halliburton. Vietnam was a military-industrial complex. Slippery slope from there. Oh, absolutely. It was, well, as you know, Sparky, and thank you, the components, the military-industrial complex is always the natural component and aspect of everything, especially that we do today. I had a friend of mine who years ago wanted to do these things. He was kind of an old, not an old fashioned, but an old time broadcaster. And he wanted to, it was so interesting. He wanted to go and visit the troops in like Iraq or Afghanistan at Christmas time, kind of like Bob Hope did. And he wanted to bring them things like a cheesecake from who the hell is it? Who's a cheesecake guy? The famous one. The Cheesecake Company. It's right there. Juniors. He wanted to bring like the black and white cookie. He wanted to bring this one. He wanted to go and bring a phone card too. And he had no idea. And when he went there, he saw these cities. And what he did was these military bases overnight where they had McDonald's and they had KFC. And it was a little city. And he's thinking, I'm showing up with a phone. They got cars. They got phones. They got computers. They got games. They're talking to each other. I mean, it's. And all of that, just the logistics of this one little base, the concessions, the contracts, the people who were there who had nothing to do with fighting, the people who delivered the ice, the people who made sure that there was enough, that the soda had enough CO2 for the fizz and the frying. It's unbelievable. This is before anybody fired or shot. All those people had to pay the government, had to pay the money. Turn on an aircraft carrier, just turn the key. It never turns off, by the way, but war is a racket. Smedley Butler said it best. But deep down inside, it may be a racket, but the bottom line is simply this: to kill the other side and destroy property. That's it. Don't ever forget that, no matter what you think it is. All right, dear friends. Sparky, you were magnificent and magnanimous. Thank you, dear friend. Johnny Maz, thank you. LJ Jackson, thank you as well for your kindness and beneficence. Thank you tremendously. And Taxiway Aviation. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Says, hi, Al. Alina Haba just posted New York judge received advice from a lawyer on Trump trial, undisclosed pretrial. Interesting. I hope that I will read. I will look that up. I'm not a big fan. Because right now I want all of the focus to be on Stephanie Clifford, Dusty Saddles, and let her be the focus of this. That's all. But I'm going to read this. And Taxi, thank you. I'm so sorry I missed that. I'm going to check the bottom line for that. So thank you immensely for that. All right, dear friends, don't forget one more time. This is Mrs. L's link. Well, listen, we'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Don't ever change. I mean that sincerely. Same bad time, same bad channel. Until then, my friends, remember this, as I always tell you.
As I always tell you, remember this. The monkey's dead. The show's over. Sue you. Dead.